News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 14th of May, Anno Domini 2006.
Mother's Day,
folks. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Steve Mizell, KMP Media.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Yes, we have Steve Mizell with us today, as you saw on the Soundbites homepage all week. Steve Mizell is with us. He's from KMP Media LLC, and it's all about CDs and DVDs today. Steve is our guru on these things. He can tell us how long they'll last, what they're used for, what's better than other stuff. So call in if you've got a question about CDs and DVDs, if you've been confused about what belongs where, when, to whom, and what's best for what. Now is your chance to get all of that settled out. CDs, DVDs, all of it. We'll talk about how long they last and everything else. So, Steve, tell us a little about KMP Media and what it is you offer.
Well, thank you, Nick. KMP Media is a company here in Rochester, New York. We're the licensed distributor of Kodak Media product. So we sell Kodak blank CDs, DVDs, videotape, camcorder tape, media accessories.
So, and this includes those gold CDs and gold DVDs that everybody loves and we couldn't find for the longest time.
Well, Kodak, under the KMP Media, Kodak branded media products, does have a new product out on the market, and it is called the Kodak Gold Preservation CD. We also have a Kodak Gold Preservation DVD, and these products are archival in nature. There is nothing that is completely archival, but these are archival in nature, and with extensive testing, torture chamber testing, the gold CD should last 300 years or more, and the DVD up to 100 years. So we're very excited about these new products and the benefits that they can bring to the consumer.
How cool is that? All right, now this is why I have to ask you. I am not an expert in this field, or indeed in almost any field, and yet,
you're an actor.
I have played one on television. That is absolutely true. But here's the deal. I answer questions at my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Ding.
Very nice. Steve? No.
He's
Rob was there.
I didn't see him there for a minute. He was around the other corner.
Oh, he saw you!
He doesn't get bored and start nodding off until about half past. He's
doing, got another 20
he's
minutes.
He's good now. He's got 20 minutes before he really gets nodding out. Yes, it is 10 minutes after the hour, just so you know. I didn't want to leave Rob with no time check. But at any rate, I answered these questions, and somebody wrote to me and said, how long do CDs and DVDs last? So I did fairly extensive research on the web, and I also looked at some stuff that I'd archived about 3 years ago, and frankly, the stuff that I had archived was partially unreadable, and some of the stuff, people on the net say, 50 years, 20 years, 8 years, a week and a half, don't store them upright, leave them flat, don't leave them out in the sun, keep them in the dark, don't keep them in humidity controlled environments. Well, we don't have those in our home. But so what's the deal with these and how long, when you say 100 years or 300 years, talk to me about that.
Well, if you look at the standard CDs that you buy in the store today, pretty cheap for a spindle of 25 of them. These are
sometimes
good CDs.
Free. You get a spindle of 100 for free after the rebate.
Sometimes free. These products are wonderful products. They're great for what they're designed for. Transient data storage, moving data from one computer to another, things like that. But they may not be the very best at trying to preserve your memories, your company's important data, important music files that you've got, or videos that you've got. So this is a different product that was designed to do the best possible that can be done today to preserve your data, your memories, your pictures.
So basically what you're telling me is when I'm burning that new beta of Ubuntu to play with for a couple of weeks, then I can use the cheapest CDs I can find, and if one doesn't take, throw it away and try another one. But when I'm trying to preserve my daughter's first communion pictures, I really should be using something just a little higher quality than that.
Well, silver CDs are excellent products, as we've said. So, you know, it's not like Chicken Little, the sky is falling.
Right.
But you have to be careful how they're stored, and you must know how these products are made. And there are an awful lot of failure modes that can impact the standard CD that you buy today to burn in your computers. And the silver layer that's on silver CDs can tarnish with time, with oxygen and moisture that can attack them, with humidity, with heat. And the dyes that are used are extremely important. That's what stores your data. And if the dyes fade out over time, no data. You're not going to be able to read them when you go back to that CD again.
Right. And I have, in fact, seen... Now, you can look at the back of CDs, and some of them are darker. Some of them are lighter. There's different color. There's bluish. There's silverish. There's the golds that you get here. So you can really tell that there's a difference in at least the color. And sometimes... Frankly, you get those, you know, you talked about the spindle of 100 that you can see through those. I mean, they're not thick. They're not, the discs are thin and kind of flimsy. They bend a lot more easily than the older discs, certainly, and some other quality discs. So what you're saying then is that, you know, really you want to, you pay your money and you take your chance.
And a lot of people don't realize, and doesn't occur to them now, with digital cameras, you take a picture, you transfer it to your computer, you're going to delete it from your camera. Mm-hmm. You don't have negatives anymore to reprint.
Right.
So if the hard drive fails or you accidentally delete the file from your computer, all those pictures are gone. So you want to archive them onto a high-quality disk so that you can read them in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
Right. And there's things like G Drive, and Symantec has one. We'll talk about that later in the show. That where you know you can take your it's basically online storage to back up. It's from Google. G Drive is you know you get a couple of gigabytes to or a couple of gigs to put your stuff on. But a lot of people don't want Google having their images because who knows how if they're going to get out there into the world. There are just images. You know, my family is private to me. I don't want everybody seeing pictures of them all the time. So, you want to be able to store them for yourself, and what you're saying is that the preservation grade CDs and DVDs from KPM Media,
KMP Media.
Excuse me, what did I say? I beg your pardon. KMP Media lets you protect these things and keep them up to 300 years on the. Of course, now I got to call you on that one. It's 300 years in the lab, right?
It is 300 years in a lab, and these discs are subjected to an extreme torture chamber test with high humidity, high heat. They're very closely monitored, and there is a model that's used that very closely approximates you know, how long these things should last and has been tested by the National Institute of Standards. So it's a real test. And I'm not sure that the real importance here is 300 years. We just stopped testing at 300 years. We think it'll last longer than that. But, you know, 100 years from now, we'll probably all have chips in our heads and we won't be using that particular disc. We just want the confidence that it's going to be there when you come back to get your data.
Right. 300 years is certainly longer than my lifetime and probably longer than my child's lifetime, even with advances in medicine. So we're good. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Steve Mizell, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Steve Mizell.
And Rob Linton.
On Soundbites. Give us a call. We've been talking to Steve about his preservation grade CDs and DVDs, and we'll talk more with him later. But give us a call if you've got questions about CDs and DVDs and backup and preservation and archiving your data and your precious memories. If you're in the 585 area code, that number is 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, why, it's a free call. On the Choice One toll-free line at 800-295-1180. And, of course, if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's a free call at Star 1180. So give us a call, and just like George did from Webster, New York. Welcome, George.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, before we get to George,
yeah,
we get everybody else.
Yeah.
We got to say to all the mothers out there, Happy Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day.
We quickly mentioned it at the top of the hour, but we should take the time to say Happy Mother's Day.
That's absolutely right. It's very important.
And for people that forgot it was Mother's Day, same day shipping doesn't work on Sunday.
Right. So I'd suggest that
electronic cards.
Right, electronic cards might work, but
no, I think they've still got cards in the store. You can go and get some cards.
Head out right now. Don't tell anybody where you're going. Just sneak out the door.
That's right.
Go buy a card. Flowers.
See it there the first thing in the morning.
Well, that's
and you're going out to the store.
Here's the problem.
Let's face it,
you buy
it,
a great card and you buy a lot of flowers and come home with them.
I don't think they have a belated Mother's Day card. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly
right. They should, but they
sorry
don't.
I missed Mother's Day. But you miss Mother's Day, you're not going to have an arm left to write with.
That's right.
It's going to be in a sling. So for those of you who completely fugued out on Mother's Day, now's your chance to get out to the store right now. Just jump in the car. You can listen to us in the car as you go. And head out to the store, get a card, get a lot of flowers.
See, I had to wait till my wife was in the shower this morning so I could sneak out to the car and bring everything in.
You're right. Well, I got once again, doggone it. I buy my wife flowers all the time. And I don't think I've ever had a decent experience buying my wife flowers. I brought these. The florist is wonderful. They're very good people. They do a great job. My wife is never home. To get the flowers. For a person who has a home business, you'd think she'd be home. She's home for weeks at a time, and the hour that they bring the flowers to the house, she's gone somewhere.
Is the coffee list up?
No.
But we won't go there.
That's right. She's not there. So I come home Friday, because they're going to deliver them on Friday, right? I come home Friday, and I just, hi, how are you? How was your day? Great. Crap, I'm thinking to myself. I go look around the house surreptitiously looking. Nothing. Finally, Elaine says, what are you looking for? Nothing, honey. They'll be delivered tomorrow. What? I was out. They left a note. I called them. They'll deliver them tomorrow.
Saved by that one.
Well, yes and no.
Well, at least it wasn't on the front door. She doesn't go in and never noticed the note was there.
Yeah, but at least she knows you took the time.
That's right. So that was all right.
If you get your wife flowers all the time, what's the special occasion?
Let me tell you something. Let me give all of you gentlemen out there who have significant
others. We'll
get to you in a minute, George. Let me give you a little hint. Every time is like the first time. If you buy a woman flowers, it's like they've never gotten flowers. It's like Alzheimer's. They forget they've ever had flowers before. It's a wonderful experience. You get them, you bought me flowers, it's great. Even if you buy them every day. Oh, you bought me flowers, it's great. It never gets old. It's like, oh, crap, more flowers. That never happens.
Right.
You can buy flowers as often as you like. That is not a problem.
Yep.
It takes 10 minutes, and you're done, and it's wonderful. Do it. Pick up the phone, make the call, and you're done. It's easy. All right, now we're going to get to the phones. We have George from Webster on the line. Welcome, George. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, guys. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours, I guess, is the way to put it.
To ours, certainly not to us, actually, yeah.
Okay, I have kind of a quick question. Excuse my stupidity about computers, but I'm very interested in the, is it Linux operating system?
Sure.
Okay, I have an old computer. It's really ready for the junk heap. It had a virus that has gotten into it. It's so bad that the hard drive needs to be wiped. Now, here's my question. Am I able to download Linux on a CD and then wipe the hard disk myself with the old DOS delete star dot star or something like that?
Well, you don't even need to do that.
Oh.
Depending on the distribution you download and for general users, I prefer Ubuntu. There are others who like PC Linux OS, and you know, there's a bunch of them out there.
And you're wearing a Linux T-shirt today.
I'm wearing my Linux T-shirt today.
It's a palindrome.
One of them. Yes, exactly.
I'm wearing my Python T-shirt on the palindrome sketch.
Right. But let's say you download Ubuntu and you burn it to a CD. There are two versions of many of them. One is the live CD, which actually runs it off of the CD and never touches the hard drive.
Uh-huh.
So you can test it and play with it and see if it's something you want to do. And the other one is the install CD. So in your case, you download the install CD,
okay.
and it's going to ask you the standard questions. Oh, I see you already have an operating system on this drive. Do you want to wipe it out? Yes, I do. And then you just follow the bouncing prompts.
Oh, and that'll would that kind of do away with this virus?
Yeah, it would completely do away with it. It would reformat the entire hard drive.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's no
now,
longer DOS.
Now, you're going to find that on an old PC, Linux runs like Windows on an old PC. It's going to be a little slow. You got to be a little patient. Mm-hmm. But that's the hardware, not the operating system.
Okay.
And as a means to learn it and to play around with it and to understand what it's about and to do stuff like that, what a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, really. I have a dial-up type thing. This is going to take a long time to download on a CD.
Heck yes. You want to find a friend.
Weeks.
Yeah.
You want to find a friend or go to the Ubuntu website.
And they'll send you a CD.
They'll send you a CD. So that's pretty neat. The folks at Ubuntu, it's ubuntu.org.
And they're on our link list anyway.
Right, they're on our link list. And you'll be able to get them to send you a CD without any trouble whatsoever. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We've got the news coming in. It's 27 minutes after the hour under cornflower blue skies in Rochester, New York. And I've amused Rob once again.
61 degrees on my screen.
60, 55 on mine.
Wow.
60 over.
That's a big difference.
60 over, yeah. 50, 60 over on the official screen. We're going to take a quick break. We still have Steve Mizell here, so if you've got CD questions, this is the place to get them answered. We'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Steve Mizell, with Rob Linton, and with me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Air Tran. We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Steve Mizell.
And Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
Before we get back to the phones.
Wait, 43 minutes after the hour, under powder blue but slightly cloudy skies. It's 61 degrees. I just have to do that for Rob. He likes the temperature. He's all about the temperature. Go ahead.
Why are you saying it's me? It's not me.
I don't do the temperature. You're
Everybody
the one who
loves
the
different names you come up with for the sky.
It's all made up. Go ahead.
I found a help document on the IncrediMail website about dealing with EML files.
Oh, excellent.
So I posted it on our links list. Basically, you go to the options, advanced, and make sure that associate EML with IncrediMail is checked on.
So Barbara can now deal with those with no problem.
But getting the latest version is always good.
All right, excellent. Our next caller, Milt from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Milt. What's your question?
I've got a Dell laptop on a 9300, and the boot time takes almost 5 minutes. It sits, goes through the Windows XP logo, passes all that, comes up with the desktop, but between the desktop and when the icons show up, it's almost 5 minutes, and I don't know what to look for.
Try it in safe mode and see if it works there.
Okay.
And that will tell you if it's some sort of a program trying to run at startup. It may be something like a network driver looking for a network volume that doesn't exist. Did this machine used to be on a network connecting to remote servers?
Still on a LAN. It still is there.
Did it used to connect to a computer you don't have anymore?
To a server somewhere?
No.
Even a peer server, yeah.
No.
The desktop comes up, and then it takes 5 minutes for any icons to appear.
Yes.
Clearly something is running at startup. One of the things that you can do is bring up a command line.
Okay.
Or go to the run command.
Yep.
And what's the program? So you can get into the startup options.
Oh, so msconfig.
Msconfig. Thank you. It's been a long day for me already. Msconfig and hit enter. And then you can
go to the startup tab.
Go to the startup tab and take a look at the list of things that's starting up. And you can't really just delete everything.
Well, you can uncheck. You don't actually delete them. You just uncheck.
Well, that's part of what safe mode does. It unchecks all that stuff temporarily to see if it works okay without all that running.
Right. So booting up in safe mode will tell you if the problem is you should get a desktop right away because safe mode also doesn't start your networking.
All right. You can get a boot up in safe mode with
networking, right. But if you do it without networking and it pops right up, then you know the problem is either a startup thing or a network thing.
Right.
And then you could reboot with safe mode with networking and see if it's still fast.
Yep.
Yeah, I just got into MS Config, and there is a lot of stuff in there that looks like it's trying to start.
See? So anything you don't need, don't start.
The problem is you may not know what half that stuff does.
Well, right. Do you by any chance use the Symantec Norton suite?
Unfortunately, yes.
There's your problem. That's certainly part of it.
Yeah, that'll load
it starts
a dozen
up
programs.
About a million programs
Norton
in the background.
Norton literally overtakes your machine because they figure they know better how to run Windows XP than Windows does. So it just adds that much more to the processing taskbar that slows it down to a crawl.
And that's one of the reasons that we recommend on the Security Tango website, that's securitytango.com, products like Zone Alarm for a firewall and AVG or that sort of thing for an antivirus program because they're lighter weight. They work just as well, but they take up a lot less of your resources. They start up faster. They take less memory. You just end up with a more nimble machine.
Sounds good. I know what to check now. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks, Milt.
Bye.
Thank you. I could not remember the name MS Config. Our next caller, Walter, from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Good morning. Great show as always, gentlemen.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling is that a retailer has the ability, has a real low price to have XP Home Edition upgrade. We have running Windows 98, so we're looking at it. Why not try it? But the question is, if the XP becomes corrupted by something stupid I do, do I need to go ahead and reload 98 disk?
Wait a minute, Walter.
Sometimes you just need to put your 98 disk in the drive to prove that you're upgrading.
Right.
But the thing of it is, though, is one, how old of a machine is this?
It's about 5 years old.
Do you know what the clock speed on it is?
66 megahertz.
Don't bother.
No. 666 or something like that.
Yeah.
Around that.
Okay.
But how much memory?
We're going to upgrade it up to 512. We're running about 300.
Yeah.
All right.
That's fast enough to run XP Home. A couple of things you want to make sure you get.
Okay.
Make sure you actually get a real CD.
Yes, it is.
With the Windows
certificate logo
on it, the little hologram thing.
Yeah, it's a reputable retailer.
Okay, then you should be all right. A lot of people are now talking about Vista, so XP Home is kind of reaching end of life. Microsoft is not interested in maintaining that anymore. They want to go to Vista when it finally comes out,
maybe next spring.
So it's very possible that they've got extra copies.
And the other thing to keep in mind quickly is that when you look at upgrading the RAM, upgrading your OS, you might need a bigger hard drive, you might need a better video card. Look at what a new computer is going
to
cost.
Yeah, you got to weigh both against each other to really, come to a well-informed decision.
Yep. All right, 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Steve Mizell, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. I'm sorry.
Steve myself.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 52 minutes after the hour under teal blue cloudy skies in Rochester, New York, I'm Nick Francesco, and this is Soundbites on your radio, even as we speak. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm so confused. Before we get back to the phones, there are a couple of things that I want to talk about. You Mac people, the party's over. Time to call it a day. They burst your pretty balloon, taking the moon away.
Not according to their new commercials.
Apple Computers just issued a security update on the 11th that fixes a whopping 43 OS X and QuickTime vulnerabilities. The security update 2006-003 patches 31 flaws in the operating system. Some of them serious enough to cause arbitrary code execution attacks. There's also QuickTime 7.1, which is a major security overhaul correcting 12 code execution and denial of service flaws. Safari has a fix that covers a flaw that could allow file manipulation or code execution if a user goes to the wrong website. There's a mail fix that could allow harmful code execution. There's vulnerabilities that are fixed in AppKit, ImageIO, ClamAV, the Finder, FTP server, Flash Player, QuickDraw, QuickTime streaming server, and 12 fixes for application crash or arbitrary code execution vulnerabilities. I believe we have reached the point where Mac people can no longer say we can't get viruses.
Now, here's one thing, and I got to ask Steve this. Don't you think it would have been better for the Mac public as to boast that they don't get any viruses or hacked or anything else, just to shut up?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the
to be stealth, you don't say anything. So if you don't bring attention to yourself, nobody's going to come after you.
Well, that's one of the new commercials. The Mac's 100 and whatever thousand viruses for the PC, none for the Mac yet. But the interesting thing is that Apple patches these security violations or security holes and product vulnerabilities before anyone in the wild makes a virus for them. Usually with Microsoft, the viruses come out first, and then they have to release a patch.
Microsoft waits a lot longer.
And one of the things that came out, we talked to, about a year ago, there was a guy that had a Mac company and wrote in his blog, I wonder if I should have a challenge to for someone to write a Mac virus, and we'll offer a prize. Well, he wrote about it in his blog, and everyone read his blog and thought it was real. So the next day he says, no, that was just a blog. I didn't really mean that, and our lawyers told me to shut up about it.
Right.
But so he wrote a new blog this week saying, well, it's been a year since I announced this, contest. There still aren't any Mac viruses. You'd have thought even without a cash prize, someone would have done it by now.
Well, unfortunately, independent researcher Tom Ferris, who's the guy who found all those holes and wrote to Apple about them so that Apple would fix them, says basically Apple didn't actually patch them all. All the ones he sent in, they're not all fixed. And he said he's a little tired of waiting for Apple now, and he may publish the details of those flaws himself. Basically, the Mac security climate is changing. And they're a small fraction of the computer population, and they think of themselves as being under the radar. But there's increasing scrutiny for security holes. And Ferris says there's still holes in Safari and in QuickTime and the iTunes application. He did not publish any details yet, but he says they're critical flaws that allow remote code execution. That would be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's considering releasing the details of those unpatched holes today, actually. And he says that he's found new holes in OS X that affect the TIFF file format, the BOM archiver, which is something that compresses files. Again, he didn't provide details, but he's hoping that Apple will fix those very quickly because he says he's not the only guy who knows about these things. He's not the only guy finding these things. Hiding them from the public.
He's the only one that's speaking up.
Exactly right. And in general, security experts have been weighing in on Mac security a lot more frequently in recent months. And of course, there's that debate about whether Apple's shift to the Intel architecture will change the security posture of Mac systems. Apple, of course, downplays the security holes and the new OS X attacks. But, the company, Apple doesn't have a chief security officer, and maybe it's about time they did. Maybe it's about time they hired somebody to do that.
There you go.
There is no secure operating system. Windows has flaws. Linux has flaws. The Mac has flaws. And saying that it doesn't make it so.
Hello, it's written better by humans.
Right. It's written by humans. There are going to be holes. And it would be best, in general, to make sure that you've got protection. I always tell Mac people, even though you'll never get a virus in your entire life ever, you should still run antivirus software to protect the rest of the community. Well, the reality is they can get them too, and I don't care why you run it, you should be running it. And that's the important thing, no matter what your operating system is. I'm running Linux, and I'm running ClamAV in the background. I don't trust anybody.
Yep.
I've got a firewall, and I've got ClamAV, and I'm making sure that nobody can get in and do stuff. I'm not playing that game for anybody. I don't do that. So it would be best in general to make sure that you've got some protection. What are you giving me the nod for?
Do we have time?
What do you think is happening in the booth? I look over at Rob and he's nodding at me. Are you saying
like
yes?
A bobblehead.
Well, I don't know sign language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can't. I mean, I know a few that's gestures, but they're not appropriate for
Well, I know the ones you use all the time in the booth back there. I didn't know you knew others as well. How interesting is that? That's not sign language, really. Those are just Italian street gestures. Those are the first ones. I thought it was sign language when I was a kid too. I thought I know this stuff. This is all.
Get whacked in the head when you did it.
That's exactly right. I always knew which the bad words were because my mother's eyes would get really, really big when I used them.
And Dad couldn't come off the porch fast enough. Yeah, right.
Yeah! So you learn them pretty quick.
Run!
Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Rob Jason is in to bring us the news and the information, the sports, the weather. He's the guru for all that stuff here. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Steve Mizell of KMP Media, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And Steve Mizell.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, under cyanine blue skies in Rochester, New York, at 61 degrees, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. We're going to get back to the phone shortly. We have a whole bunch of stuff to do, and if you're on the phone, please hang on. But before we do that, I want to talk about a couple things. And don't forget, we have Steve Mizell here. He knows everything about DVDs and CDs and storing.
Yeah, you folks have been asking questions.
I know, you're asking questions all the time. Here's the guy, and you don't call in. Call in about that. We'll talk to you about that. Before we do, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was, do you surf the web on company time? 295 of you voted in the poll, making it number 141 in the all-time hit list. Thank you. The consensus, 32% of you surf pretty regularly. 21% of you said, heavens to Betsy, no way. 19% said, can't recall the last time I actually worked at work. apparently you're surfing all the time. 19% said once in a great while. 6% said the Linux. And only 4% of you said the Macintosh. This week's poll has to do with CDs and DVDs. It's a question about a burner. I have a burner is the question, and the choices are CD, DVD, double-layer DVD, both, neither, and I have no idea. So far, we've got 76 votes in, and both is winning. 43% of you have both. 26% have only a CD. 17% of you have a double-layer DVD. It's actually a lot higher than I thought it would be. Only 7% of you have voted DVD, and 5% of you have no idea. And only one person has neither a PC, a DVD, nor anything else like that. Thank you, sir.
One of the things that we had talked about a little before the show about the cost of CD drives versus DVD drives and not bothering with CDs anymore, the combo drives that do CD writing and DVD writing are generally a little slower at CD writing than a standalone CD writer.
Right.
So if you're doing a lot of CD writing, you may want to get a CD writer and a DVD writer as two separate drives.
Right, right.
Yeah, but right. I mean, we're not talking, when you say slower, I mean, we're not talking,
it's that
half a day or anything else.
Yeah, 7 minutes versus 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. I bet some of us are impatient enough that's important.
I remember the jump from 1X to 2X to 4X. I bought a 4X Yamaha 5.25-inch full height CD burner.
Sure.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
$4,000.
Yes.
For a 4X burner. and I could burn a disc in 18 minutes.
Man, you were hot stuff, mister.
Yep, yep, burning yep. fast.
Absolutely.
Yep, we actually had a service. For $100, we'd convert your SideQuest discs onto a CD.
Oh, yeah.
Give you 14 blank SideQuest discs back that were $100 each.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, once you're done voting in the poll, look at the little yellow box underneath it. Click on the Give Us Your Opinion box. It will take you over to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you can leave an opinion, because I know that you people are not satisfied with just clicking a button. You've got to enter text. So you can talk, and the question there is, what do you burn to archival media the most? So please leave that information. While you're at my website, let me put in a plug. Take a look around at what I have to offer. I offer a weekly newsletter with tips and tricks and Q&A and stuff like that. A great set of forums. I'm revamping the reviews site, so I'll actually have reviews up there. And it's only $15 a year. I don't know how you beat that. But when you're done with that, come on back to our website, soundbites.org. Check out the links, the FAQs, the forums where some of the niftiest people on earth hang out. Of course, buy many, many things at the shop, at the Soundbite shop. You have logoed items like mugs and coffee pots and sweatshirts and, a thong. And you'll be able to buy all those things there.
Has anyone bought a thong?
No.
Rats.
No, yeah.
A new Soundbites contest. Take a picture in your Soundbites thong and post it in the forums.
No. However, if you'd like,
already have a picture of us in them.
We can. That's right. We can generalize that to a picture in your Soundbites logoed item, whether it's a shirt or a frisbee or a bag or yes, the thong or whatever it is you want, a hat, whatever it is. Take a picture of yourself with your Soundbites logoed item. Now, and that doesn't mean you Photoshop our face onto something.
Yeah.
You get to buy the product and take the picture and send it in. No Photoshops. And we'll have to come up with a prize of some sort for the best picture. We'll do some voting. We'll do some stuff. But we'll figure it out.
Are you going to put that on your website?
And that'll be on the Soundbites website. Oh, cool. Absolutely. Absolutely. So do that. And that's what we do on our site. We have a lot of fun. We enjoy some things. And as long as I'm going to be plugging myself anyway, head on over to securitytango.com and read my blog. It's true. I've succumbed. I've finally come to the dark side and I've started a blog, and it's not your average blog. I'm not talking about my dog and, you know, what I did today and all that, yada, yada, yada. It's about security. It's on the Security Tango site because it's about security. And I've got a lot of things. This latest one is about Mac viruses and email viruses and internet worms and BitLocker and all kinds of wonderful things. So feel free to read my blog and let me know what you think. We're going to go back to the phones now, though, and we're going to talk to Patty from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Patty. What's your question? Patty, are you there? Did we put you to sleep? Patty? Hello? No, Patty. All right. Our next caller, then, would probably be Dave. Yep. Wake up. Yep. Dave from Old Forge, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Got a question. I had a problem right after I installed an Adobe update last night. My internet connection wasn't working too well, and it was unrelated, as it turned out. But in the process, I tried to use System Restore, and every date I tried it for, it said it could not do it.
Didn't you give you any reason as to why it couldn't load it?
No, it just came after it rebooted. It came back up and said it couldn't complete it. No changes had been made.
What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
All right, so if you start it up in safe mode and you go into the System Restore menu, you can't go back to, say, like last month and select a date from there?
Right.
Saying he can go back, but it says it doesn't work when he reboots.
Well, right. I can go back to any date. I select it. It's usually a system checkpoint or whatever it called it.
Yeah.
After it reboots and comes up, it hasn't done it.
It sounds like a corruption somewhere. Yeah. I can't imagine that the Adobe update corrupted your System Restore.
Well, I don't think it did. It was a coincidence that right after I did the Adobe update, my internet connection was just either the pages would come up, could not, timed out, or were really, really slow. And that was something unrelated to the update, but it just happened to happen at that time. And that's why after I uninstalled Adobe update, I tried the restore command and found out it wasn't working at all.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, now there's 100 things that would cause system restore to not work. It could be a corrupted segment on your hard drive. That's not likely, but possible. It could be a virus. Are you dancing the security tango?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a while, but I have done it. Yep.
Well, when you do it, one of the things you do is turn off system restore, so all of the system restores you had before that point are no longer active.
Right.
But you did do a system restore when you turned it back on?
Well, I haven't turned it off. That's what I was going to ask. Should I turn it off to get rid of all those? And then
yes, it will.
Because a lot of viruses and spyware hide in the system restore, too.
Yeah, the system restore is a nice idea, but in practice it turns out to be nothing but a place to hide viruses.
Okay, now I use Norton's Internet Security Suite. Is that safe to update yet? Because I remember hearing you guys saying they had some problems.
We continue to not be fans of it.
2005 or 2006?
What was that?
What version?
It was 2004 or 5. I forgot which one.
4 or 5 isn't bad. 4 is better than 5.
But 6 is terrible.
6 is horrible.
You're better off using other utilities like the ones we recommend on Security Tango,
right?
Because of all the problems, just backing up a step, the Norton tries to take over your whole computer by doing all this extra stuff, which slows everything down even more. Plus, it doesn't do it very well,
and you don't need most of it. So really, we're not fans.
Yeah, we use Norton Utilities all the time as a diagnostic program you run. Off the CD, you never install all the stuff.
Right.
So is it very warm up there in Old Forge?
It's probably about 10 degrees colder.
Is the amusement park open yet?
No, that's middle of June.
Ah. Yeah. Well, I head up there in another few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, our skies are gray right now. I don't know what color yours are. I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah. They're a form of bluish behind the clouds. They're getting closer to gray now.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Would you say you were more of a light slate gray or a russet?
It's more of a light slate right now.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Thanks, Dave. All right. Our next caller, Patty from Rochester, New York. We'll try her again. Patty, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. What's your question?
I just installed Internet 7.0 beta.
Right.
I have Windows XP. And when I open up anything in the internet, I can open up the main page, and then I cannot get anything after that.
Yeah.
I cannot open up any other boxes or...
Yeah. Patty, that's one of the reasons that IE7 is a beta. It doesn't work.
Yeah. They're using you as a guinea pig to find out what's wrong with it.
And that's great, only the problem is it really doesn't work well yet. We certainly don't recommend anybody download it. The whole point behind a beta code is it doesn't work yet.
And that's the thing you got to understand. I mean, with beta, that's just what it is. Beta, it is going to probably mess up your machine. And more folks should realize anytime you put anything on your machine, I don't care whether it's IE or anything that has after it the name beta, that means it's not the full-blown version. It could and most likely will mess up your machine one way or the other.
How do I get rid of it?
That's harder.
Yeah. Well, you might be able to do an uninstall. If you go into the control panel under Add Remove Programs, you're going to see that beta version listed there.
Okay.
Go and select and say uninstall. What it'll do, because it is IE, is roll you back to the previous version.
And so I don't have to reinstall?
No, just do the add remove.
In fact, you can't reinstall Internet Explorer 6. There's no installer for it. It's part
she
of Windows.
The older version, it'll go back to the previous version.
But we strongly recommend to not use Internet Explorer at all and use something like Firefox, which has many fewer security holes in it than Internet Explorer does.
Right.
How do I do that?
You can just download Internet Explorer, Firefox from the net. You can just go to
getfirefox.com.
Right, and download it from there. And then wherever you've downloaded, double-click on it. It'll install itself. That's the easiest way to get it.
It'll override Internet Explorer?
You can't get rid of Internet Explorer. It's built into the operating system.
It's just another additional program.
You can ignore it.
You can ignore it. You can set when you boot up Firefox, it'll ask you if you want it to be the default browser and to keep checking every time you say yes to that. And then from then on, it'll set itself as the default browser and check to see whether something has reset Internet Explorer. And then you'll always be using Firefox. Now, what that means is there are a couple of sites on the Internet that you'll have trouble with. There are some sites, particularly those at Microsoft's own website, that only look good on Internet Explorer. Basically, that's lazy programming.
Mm-hmm.
Every place else looks as good or even better on Firefox.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Do I have time for another question?
We do, I'm afraid, need to move on. I'm sorry, Patty. Thank you.
You can call back and get in queue.
Right. Yeah. Call back, get in the queue again. Our next caller is Ben from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Ben. What's your question?
Oh, my gosh. Happy Mother's Day to my favorite crowd. Hey, I'm the guy with the USB port on my Brownie Hawkeye, and it's working out okay.
Excellent.
The question is, and I may be a complete idiot, I have a Mac G4 laptop. Okay?
That does not make you a complete idiot.
Well, no. Mac is really cool, and I'm on dial-up of all things, and I'm...
That's not so good.
And, you know, it's interesting you raised that question. I just had my DVD SuperDrive replaced at the new Mac store. It was like $700 worth of labor.
Yeah.
On that, you know, I had a warranty on it. So I think that's a good idea to have separate, you know, buy some outboard drives.
Yep.
Well, that's sort of an inherent problem with any laptop, Mac or Windows, is the parts in them are more expensive. Getting into it to replace is just more expensive.
Do they toast easy or something in the laptops?
Well, the real problem is that laptops get banged around.
Yeah, they take more abuse than a desktop.
But mine, you know, sets in one place. I got one of those child rubber pads, you know. It sets on a work table. I really don't haul it around unless I want to show a bunch of iPhoto stuff.
And even so, often enough, the parts are not necessarily flimsier, but they're certainly made to be lighter, and that often makes them a little less sturdy.
See, I'm curious if it's, you know, if you should really use it, except for emergencies, you know, break glass or something.
Well, it almost sounds like you, unfortunately, just got a bad drive. It does happen now and then. Generally, they do last. You can burn them out, though. You know, you burn 100 disks a day, you're going to wear it out.
Okay. Well, that's probably good. The other thing is, what do I really need with dial? What do I need to protect myself? You know, to keep this thing flying.
All the same stuff that you need on broadband. It used to be that dial-up you didn't get much in the way of viruses, but that hasn't been true for a very, very long time. So, whatever you're doing to protect yourself on a broadband is the same stuff you should be doing to protect yourself on dial-up.
Do you buy a buy a program that would offer all the protection you need?
Well, there are antivirus. Go ahead.
Yeah, is that you can buy the security suites. Symantec has one. Intego has one. Two or three other companies that have one.
What do you guys recommend?
The free ClamX AV for antivirus.
Okay.
One of the lack of features is that it doesn't do real-time email scanning. So it will scan files as you open them, but not as they get downloaded. And you can run a scan anytime you want. But it's a free program, so a lot of people like that. There's a firewall built into OS X, but we do recommend, it doesn't happen in your case with a dial-up, we do recommend a LAN router to protect you from the broadband network so that you're on your own private network.
So do I go to your website to get a link to this ClamX?
Yeah, it's clamxav.com, I think, or .org. But, yeah, it's on our link list as well.
Yep. Give that a shot, and you'll see all of that.
Yeah, what was that study that came out that your computer will be broken into within 18 seconds of being online?
Well, I've told this story 100 times. We put up a brand new server.
An average of 18 seconds.
An average of 18 seconds from getting online. We put in a brand new server.
And
we booted it up. We to install everything, put it on the net. The very first entry in the log was someone trying to break into it.
I had just
the very first entry in the log.
Just got it up, and we you go, I couldn't believe it. And I go, what? We've already been hacked.
Hacked that. Yeah. It was a Linux server, it was a Windows exploit, we just laughed and moved on.
Yeah.
But the point is, it was a brand new system. First going up on the net. First time any machine had ever used that IP address. And the first thing in the log was a hack attempt. Unbelievable. You're not safe. You got to be careful. Our next caller is Patty from Kendall, New York. Welcome, Patty. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about I can't play DVDs on my computer all of a sudden. I've been playing them right along without a problem. Haven't done anything different lately. But all of a sudden, I'm getting an error message in any player, any software program, particularly the one in Windows Media Player says there's a problem with digital copyright protection. And it's an original store-bought DVD. And so, of course, when I click more information, it tells me something about a decoder that I don't have.
You recently did a Windows upgrade.
Yes.
Yes, you did. there's Microsoft has, I can't put this politely. There are a lot of companies who immediately assume that if you're actually playing a DVD you bought, you're a thief.
They assume you didn't buy it.
They assume you didn't buy it unless you have some sort of digital copyright files on there, and they don't, and you don't. So oh dear, I'm not entirely certain what to tell you as to how to fix that. We'll have to look.
It kind of walks me through it here, and I did find some. I googled my error message, and it's telling me that I need a DVD decoder plugin, and I just got to do some reading. But I guess I'm curious. I was curious. My biggest question was, how did that happen? But quite honestly, I didn't do the Windows update until just yesterday when trying to solve this problem.
Well, really?
Yeah, I don't know where this problem. This problem started earlier in the week.
Well, then I'm wondering if you've lost the codec somehow.
Yeah, that's
a codec that you had. Could have become corrupted. Could have been accidentally wiped out.
In SpyBot or something?
Well, one of those might have done it, but it's unlikely that SpyBot Adaware did it. But it's clear that something either wiped out or corrupted the codec. It could be any one of a million things, Patty. I'm sorry, I haven't got it.
Well, one easy thing to try is a drive cleaner. Maybe the lens is just a little dusty. It's trying to read the key and can't.
Or try reading another DVD if it reads that fine.
Well, she said she tried different discs and different players
now,
on the same computer.
Now, that's another thing that we need to remind people about. DVDs are fairly delicate. DVD players are fairly delicate. And there are a couple of things you need to be aware of. You can, by banging them around, whether it's in a laptop or in a desktop, you can either damage the read head or knock it out of alignment so it can't read anything. In addition, they get dirty. If you smoke or you've got animals of any sort or, you know, you're in a dusty environment.
Or if you smoke your animals.
Or you smoke your animals in a dusty environment, you'll find that...
There's this horrible commercial.
I don't want to hear this.
No.
You'll find that you often get a sooty coating on the reader, on the little read head, the little laser. And if that gets too thick and you can't read things anymore, it's a problem. So one of the things that you should do semi-regularly is clean that head. By semi-regularly, I mean once a year. Okay, unless you're a heavy smoker or your animals sleep on the computer, you don't have to do it too often. But when you have a problem like this, go down and buy one of those head cleaner, those DVD cleaner kits.
Yeah, there's two different sides of it. There's a drive cleaner and there's a disc cleaner. Yeah.
Right. You definitely want the drive cleaner. Can't hurt to clean the discs as well.
Especially with kids and
animals.
Especially
when you got kids and animals and you get fingerprints on it and everything else. I have a DVD cleaner that I use with every movie I rent.
Yeah, renting is especially horrible.
Because I just get sick and tired of getting three quarters of the way through a movie and all of a sudden it pauses or it skips something.
Yes.
Or so I clean everything before I play it. But it's not a bad idea to clean the drive itself and then the DVDs themselves, particularly if, like I said, you're a smoker or you, particularly in the summer, you know, we open the windows and soot and dust blow in and you're opening and closing that drive door and they get dusty and you can't read them quite as well. So be very careful with that and make sure that you have some sort of cleaner handy at all times when those sorts of things happen. All right, our next caller, Steve from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Earlier in the show, you had a caller ask a question, and your answer was to use the MSConfig to find out which programs were being in the startup. And I thought, son of a gun, that's the same problem that I have. And I went in, did the what you recommended, and I get a response that says it can't file the MS config or one of its components.
What operating system are you running?
2000.
It doesn't have it.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Windows 2000 doesn't come with MS config. There you would have to, which I don't recommend, is go into the Reg Edit program.
And do it all manually. Which
yeah,
is
you got to burrow your way down.
And dangerous.
And I don't even want to go there because unless if you eliminate things, you could mess up the home machine.
How do you prevent, I'm looking at the systems tray, and I think there's about 7 programs that are in there. How do you prevent them from...
Well, if you're lucky, each of those programs has a preferences file. You could, you know, they'll have some sort of preferences or options selection.
Okay.
From the, you right-click on them, and you'll see a pop-up menu.
Okay.
If they have a preferences or whatever, one of the choices might be start a boot, and uncheck that, or say no, or whatever the choice is.
And
but
you know,
beyond that, you're done.
Okay, I know you have a gentleman there who is the expert DVD.
Yes, yeah. Not only is he an expert, but he is also a gentleman. Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
So I was right on both accounts.
Yeah.
I have a P3 800, and when I put DVDs in there, it it's pretty choppy. Is there a minimum hardware, RAM and so forth, that one should be able to use as a good gauge for whether or not just to get rid of this PC for those purposes?
Well, the faster the better and of your PC. And one of the things you can do is slow down your write speed. If you only have a 300 megahertz PC, you might not, definitely can't write at 52x, but you may be able to write at 4x.
For watching DVDs.
For watching DVDs, there's two pieces that are most three. Nobody expects Spanish Inquisition. The amount of RAM you have is important.
Okay.
The speed of your video card is important.
Okay.
And the quality of the codecs that you're using. Every single thing that you do on the system in terms of your DVD and stuff needs a codec, and that's a coder decoder.
Okay.
System. The thing that's used to code the information on the DVD and then decode it back out again. That was what Patty from Kendall was talking about. Her codec is in some way damaged, and so it can't read the DVD anymore.
So it used to be that video cards would have a hardware codec on it so that it could decode and play your DVDs really easy. Nowadays, most of the programs come with a software codec. So you need to have a faster processor to be able to decode the DVDs.
Right. So you have to have all three of those things. A lot of RAM in order to run all this stuff. A very fast video card in order to play it skip-free. And a fast system to be able to run the codec quickly.
Okay.
The other part of the problem is, what are you running in the background? You know, if you're playing a movie and you're trying to burn a DVD or and another burner or you're... compiling a program or zipping up a bunch of files.
And only have 256 mega memory.
Right, or your system's not very fast. That's a bad idea. So, shutting down as much as possible before you play that DVD is an excellent idea.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Okay. Our next caller, Al from Webster, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Hi. I have a new computer. I put Mozilla Firefox on it. And on my old computer, I was able to use Media Player when I went on at CNN's website.
Right.
And on the new setup, I can't. It tells me no Windows Media Player detected. That's on Mozilla, but when I use, I think I misspoke. When I use Internet Explorer, it's there.
Did you install the Windows Media Player before you installed Firefox?
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know.
Yeah, generally what happens is when you install the media player, it installs into the current browsers. So when you install Firefox, it doesn't know media player is there. But if you reinstall media player, it should attach itself now to Firefox since it's already installed.
Very cool.
But there is a way to make that happen, and there is a step-by-step guide for embedded Windows media in Firefox. We'll do is during the break, I'll have Steve put this up on our website, put a link up.
Great. That's great.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's true that when you have one of the things that is very good about Windows is that everything is completely integrated. You take it out of the box and it all works. With when you add other pieces in an attempt to be free and safe from viruses and things like that, you sometimes have to do a little more work. But the final result there is that you are better off. Our next caller, John, from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes, thanks. I have a Windows 98 second edition computer, and I will be buying a new one with Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know which XP edition, media, professional, or home, will allow me to use my Windows Office 97 software.
XP Home will still use it.
Maybe. Windows 97.
No, it will. 97?
Yes. Office 97 will still run on Windows XP. The reason I know it is I'm still doing it.
Of course, they want you to buy 2003.
Well, Office 97 will still run on XP Home edition and professional.
Will it run on the media edition?
That I can't answer.
Yeah, generally, the media edition isn't really meant to be a general-purpose computer. It's supposed to just be a television and video player.
Right. They've optimized it for that. Also, you need to be aware that I'll guarantee you Office 97 won't run in Vista when that comes out. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Steve Mizell, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
That you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And Steve Mizell.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, under, what do you think?
Robin Blue?
Robin Blue Skies? Maybe. All right, I'll give you that one. It's Robin Blue Skies.
Robins are blue?
Robin's egg blue.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. Skies, it's 61 degrees here in Rochester, New York. Now, before we get back to the phones.
You'll get yours.
I got to say
something. Yeah, you stay over in that glass and laugh.
You know, I've got Mac people.
I will tell your mother.
Yeah, right. She's listening. She knows.
You remember, your mother likes us.
And she likes to listen to us, and she accidentally happens to listen to you at the same time because you're here with us.
So old Cosby.
And what did you get your mother for Mother's Day, Mr. Linton?
He's hiding.
Oh, I got her. Yeah, like I'm going to tell her before she gets it on the radio.
Got it. Okay, all right.
You
didn't show up at her house at 9 o'clock this morning with breakfast?
I was sleeping.
Make breakfast? That's disgusting. All right, look.
What's that old Cosby line? She brought you into this world.
She can take you out.
My father actually always used to say that to me as well. He goes, you know, I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. And I don't care what anybody says. I'll make another one look just like you.
And that's a fact, Jack.
Yeah, my father used to say, you're not the only bullet in the gun, so be careful. I've got Mac people who are already so porked off at me, I should worry about guns and bullets later on as I'm leaving. But
I
will say one nice thing about the Macs, Sony is bringing location-free TV to Macintosh computers. Location-free TV is a platform that streams live video and audio from a base station to client devices. So you can watch TV and videos from devices in your living room on a remote computer anywhere in the world as long as you have a broadband connection, a good broadband connection between the base station and the client. This is like that Slingbox device.
Yeah, there have been audio solutions for this for a while. Apple makes one in their Airport Express solution.
But now there's a video. Sony's got one out. Of course, it'll be
expensive.
I was going to say copy protected, but okay. It'll be both. And so that's coming out for the, it's called the LF-PK1. It was launched last year. It's now on sale in the U.S., Japan, and in Europe. That's the location-free TV base station. It sort of resembles a tablet PC. It's a Windows or 2000 or XP-based system. And now it's going to be available for the Macintoshes, so that's wonderful for the Mac people.
You also point out that Apple won in the Apple versus Apple suit.
Right, the Apple versus Apple, Apple won.
Apple won. Apple computer won.
Right.
The judge decided that the Apple logo on the iTunes Music Store was not in violation of the 1991 agreement.
That said, Apple wouldn't do music.
Well, Apple wouldn't sell music. Apple isn't selling music. They're distributing someone else's music electronically.
Okay, that's the difference.
Well, the one interesting thing that did come out in the court case is that Apple Records lawyer happened to sort of casually mention that they are remastering their library getting it ready for digital release, because right now the Beatles cannot be legally purchased on any music service.
Right.
So they're working on it. We just don't know who's going to get the contract.
Right. And one more nice thing about Apple, the French copyright bill gives them a break. The French government approved a new copyright bill yesterday. Originally, it was a very tough bill, but it's been amended to soften a requirement for digital music vendors like Apple Computer to open up their digital rights management technologies to competitors. Right now, of course, Apple's music store will only download stuff that can be played through iTunes or on the iPod or whatever. From there, you can burn CDs and do all that other stuff, but you have to have their technology to do it. And that has to do with their Fair Play DRM. And now, the original thing, the French Senate was saying that you had to tell everybody how to do that. And of course, that would take away the one real advantage they had. And now that's been softened, so they don't have to do that anymore. So Apple won a victory in France. All right. Now, I've said nice things about the Mac. Put the guns away. Our next caller is Jeff from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Well, I think I have a virus I can't get rid of. And I run spyware. I've run Spybot, I should say, and Adaware. And the only thing that picks it up is ABG Free Edition.
Yeah. Because that's the antivirus program. Spybot and Adaware don't do viruses.
All right, well, in any event, it says it heals it. I've tried quarantining. I've tried healing it. And then when I shut down and start back up,
yeah,
it finds it again. It's Trojan Horse Proxy. And
yep. Listen, Jeff, you've done about half the security tango, so you're half cleaned.
Okay.
The problem is this. A lot of these things hide in places like the system restore that we were talking about.
Okay.
That's why the security tango is a tango. It has a series of steps. If you skip a step, it's not a tango anymore. That's why I call it dancing. That's why I call them steps. That's why I call it the tango. If you skip a step, you're just stumbling around. You need to go to the Security Tango website, click the Let's Dance button, print that out, and take every single step one at a time, follow it in order. That's the only way you're going to get rid of the virus or the Trojan. And in fact, that even doesn't get rid of all of them. There are some new ones that yeah. you really need to bring it to a qualified vendor to get rid of. But if you don't dance the tango, you're never going to get rid of most of them.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks for your help, guys.
Thank you so much. I know that the tango takes time, and I know that it's tedious, and I know that it's finicky and fiddly. But really, if you want to get rid of viruses, there you are. Deal with it. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Steve Mizell, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 49 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer Show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And Steve Mizell.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites at 54 minutes after the hour in lapis lazuli skies.
What?
Huh?
It's
wait a minute, where'd you dig that one?
It's 60. Have you ever heard of lapis lazuli?
No.
Sure, it's a.
Is he Louis's brother?
He's Louis Lazuli's brother.
Okay.
Louis Lazuli. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Cast part of them all the night visitors.
Exactly. Our next caller
once
is
once worshipped as a holy stone.
Our next correct. Caller is Colleen from Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen. What's your question?
I have a question about a QuickTime video clip. A friend of mine has a digital camera, and she doesn't have a computer, so I tried to burn the pictures and these three video clips to a CD. That worked successfully, but when I tried to play it on my computer, which is supposed to handle both CDs and DVDs, I get this message that there's no disk in the drive, even though there is, and that message won't go away easily. I have to click it anywhere from 18 to 36 times to get it to, you know, drop out.
Right.
And then the file will eventually play. And I'm just wondering, is there any way that I can fix this? Can I convert this clip to another type of file? Because it won't play in Windows Media Player at all.
No, it only plays in the QuickTime Player.
Right. Uh-huh. Now,
which
Steve,
is a free
you
download.
Nodding. Do you have a...
Well, one of the things that happens when you burn CDs and DVDs, at times you have a problem if you move from one computer to another where maybe the compatibility is not right between the drive and the disk itself. So you might try a different CD.
And a lot of that is sometimes the burning software. Depending on what type of software it is, you may have to use a command called make compatible or finalize session so that disk can be read in somebody else's computer.
Right. Oh. The other big thing is actually closing the disk. When you burn a CD, particularly if it's a rewritable CD, it doesn't always end the disk, lock it up so that it can be redone.
It closes the session.
So it lets you burn more stuff later.
On the same disk.
But another computer can't read that disk.
Until you finalize it or close it, depending on what software you're using, then it can be read by anybody.
Oh, okay. I thought that happened automatically. It doesn't?
No. Not
sometimes.
Always.
Okay.
That's the problem. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't.
Depending on if you're just dragging the icon onto the CD on your desktop, that will never close the session.
Okay.
If you're using an authoring program, the CD Media Creator, then that will usually close the session, or at least give you the option, do you want to close the session?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'll check that out.
All right,
thank you.
Cool, yep. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think we've got time for one more call. Andrew from Irondequoit. Welcome, Andrew. What's your question?
I've got a question about laptops.
Yeah.
I'm graduating high school this year, and of course...
Congratulations.
Thank you. I had to buy a laptop for college. And I've been looking for a while, and I'll see some of the processors. They're rated at like 1.7 gigahertz.
Right.
For the laptops. And I was wondering whether or not it was based on the same scale as desktops.
Yes. They're the same chips.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Essentially. So the same speed is going to be there. You want to do a couple of things about your laptop. You want to worry about... the speed, the amount of memory you have.
Hard disk space,
those are all important to you. Most important to you is who's going to service and support it.
Okay.
While I'm always in favor of buying locally, the concept of locally changes when you go to college.
Yes.
A lot of schools have, in their bookstore, they have their own little sales department that sells and services and supports laptops.
Okay.
If you're planning on being in that college for 4 years, it's not a bad idea to talk to them before you buy a laptop, probably buy it from them, and make sure you get a warranty. The single most important thing in any computer,
yes,
particularly with a laptop, is the
warranty.
It's a must. That's way more important than any other feature.
And a lot of times you may end up getting it cheaper through your school bookstore, yes, because of educational discounts.
Right, and they have educational discounts. Now, the next thing you need to be aware of,
yeah,
is you're going to be a college student with a laptop in a dorm.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for getting ripped off. One of the things that you can buy to add to this laptop is something called a Kensington lock. Now, Kensington is a company that makes these locks, but now that term is semi-generic. Every laptop on Earth has a Kensington lock slot in it.
Yeah.
And you buy a Kensington lock, lock it to something that doesn't move, like your radiator, and then when you're ready to use the computer elsewhere, you unlock it and take away, and when you bring it back, you lock it back in again. That's probably your best bet for that. So never go to college without your Kensington lock. All right, we're done for another week. I really want to thank Steve Mizell. He came in here and shared his expertise and his knowledge with us about the about preservation DVDs and stuff that lasts for 300 years. He's from Kodak Media Products. If you want to get a hold of him, send us an email. We'll forward it on to you. That's great. Anything you'd like to say? You got about 10 seconds.
Well, it was great being here. Be sure to preserve your memories and be safe out there. And enjoy your computer. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you. We'll be back next week with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening, and happy Mother's Day.